Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, December 22nd, 2013. The Reverend John Reed is preaching. Today's sermon is Zechariah's Song, the Benedictus. The scripture reading for today is Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79.
When I was getting ready for worship this week and planning and going through, and Andrew had sent the anthem, I thought how appropriate that anthem comes before this scripture passage. This passage we're reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79, is known as the Benedictus, and we get that from the beginning words, which is, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." Benedictus is blessed in Latin. This is Zechariah's song. Zechariah is the husband of Elizabeth. Remember Mary's cousin that Mary, just after Gabriel came to Mary, she left and went down to Ein Kerem outside of Jerusalem to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Well, Zechariah is Elizabeth's husband. And Zechariah was one of the priests that served in the temple. And if we go back and remember the story even further, we go back that 6 months earlier, Zechariah was serving in the temple and the angel Gabriel came to him and said, "Greetings, Zechariah." And basically said, "You and Elizabeth are going to have a baby." And Zechariah says, "Yeah, right. I'm old. My wife is old. How do I know this is true?" And Gabriel convinces him and then says, "Because you didn't believe, you will be mute until the child's born." So Zechariah could not speak when he came out of the Holy of Holies, when he came out of there in the temple. He could not speak. No words came out of his mouth. And for 9 months of pregnancy, Zechariah was quiet. And my guess is Elizabeth was overjoyed, because she could say to him, "This is your fault. I'm not feeling good." She could, any she wanted to, and he couldn't say a word. But seriously, he goes through this whole time. Comes time for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gives birth to a son. And everybody gathered there says, "Well, the name has to be Zechariah." And she's going, no, it's John, because that's what Gabriel told them to name the child. Name it John. And they said, no. And Zechariah bursts forth and is able to speak and comes through with this song, with this prophecy that he sings. This is one of the first carols of Christmas. We've been talking about that for the last few weeks. And we don't mean the first Christmas carols we sing, but the first songs or canticles that are developed and come out around the birth of Christ. We looked at the shepherds when the angels came. We looked at Elizabeth. We looked at Mary. Today we're looking at Zechariah. And this prophecy speaks of the longing of the people of Israel for the Messiah to come. "Come, O come, O come, Emmanuel." Just what the choir sang. They've been waiting for hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. And now it's about to happen. Elizabeth and Zechariah's child John is born. In 3 months, Jesus will be born. And Zechariah bursts forth in the song of prophecy and praise and wonder. Let us listen to these words. "Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably upon his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, we gather here on this Sunday before Christmas to celebrate, to worship, to join together in wonderful song, to celebrate in wonderful music, to hear your word. We pray now that the meditations of our hearts the words of this mouth, that they be pleasing and acceptable to Thee, O Lord, our Rock, our Strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Zechariah's words here echo down to us today when you think about it. And I look at that because we look at the first part of this, and it's about Jesus, about the birth of the Savior coming to the world. It talks about John, but I want to really look closely at those last verses. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Those that sit in darkness. Anyone looking around at the world today sees the darkness, don't we? Shootings that take place, the shooting at the hospital in Reno, shootings here in Vallejo, people who die from the cold because they're homeless and don't have enough warm clothes to survive, people who are hungry, people caught in poverty. There isn't a week goes by that we can't pick up the paper or hear the radio about darkness enveloping the world. Darkness that surrounds people. Darkness that takes lives. It's here. It's surrounding us. We're not much different than the people of Israel 2,000 years ago because we're waiting for Christ to come back. We're waiting for the light to finally break forth and make a difference and change everything. We celebrate Christmas, the celebration of the light coming into the world, but we still see darkness in the world. We're not much different than Zechariah and the Israelites, who were waiting for God to fulfill the promise to Abraham and to Moses and to Miriam, to Deborah, to David, to Esther. The Messiah will come, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally the time has come. We today are the ones waiting for Christ to return, to set all things right. And until then, we still have darkness in our world. But there's a difference. The difference is that we also have the light. We see the light. We are the light. As we look out and we see the tragedies that happen in the world, we could look at it from a different perspective than what most of the people in the world that don't have faith have. And that's that we see hope because we're not alone. We see God taking tragedies and we see God bringing good out of them. Paul tells us in Romans that God works good, everything to the good for those who believe. We trust in that. We know that. We've seen it. We look back. Why did Zechariah trust in God? Think about this for a minute. Zechariah and his wife, old age, wanting children. Remember, in that day, children were a treasure, and to not have children was a tragedy for you. It was a weeping time. Suddenly, Elizabeth's pregnant. She's going to have a child. Wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles. She's going to have a child. But Zechariah also knew what the fate of the child would be. I mentioned this last week, I think it was, that they knew he was going to be a prophet. And what did Israel do to the prophets? How many of the prophets were held in wonderful honor? How many had life of ease? How many never had to worry about where they were going to live? How many? I don't see any hands saying yes. Elijah had to flee for his life. Jesus talks about how the prophets were killed by Israel. They were derided. They were ridiculed. So here you are in your old age, you finally have a child. We have a wonderful child, and he's going to be a prophet, and he's probably going to die at a young age. What joy. But you see, Zechariah made a choice to remain in the light. Those words at the end of his song, "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." He took those words to heart. That I have to choose to be part of the light. One of the favorite books series that I have read, I'm a science fiction fantasy fan, and one of my favorite series of books, and a lot of other people too, is Harry Potter. Now, we know in Harry Potter, Harry, the hero in the book, struggles because he thinks he's a lot like Lord Voldemort, the evil protagonist in the book, the antagonist in the book that is trying to rule the world. And Harry sees similarities between him and Lord Voldemort, and he's worried, I'm like him. And over, Professor Dumbledore, the head of the School of Hogwarts, tells Harry, but Harry, it's your choices that make the difference. It's the choices that reveal who you are. And Harry's choices are always for the light, for good. And that's ours as well. It was Zechariah's. It was for the light. It was, I understand what's probably going to happen to my son. My son who I have in my old age. My son who I value, who I love. But I will follow the light and I will raise him to be a follower of God. I mean, Elizabeth and Zechariah could have run to the hills and taken their baby and said, we're going to hide out here and have our nice little family and not do anything. And that way he'll be a strong young man and live long. But no, they said, we need to be the light in the midst of the darkness of the world. And we have that same choice today of how do we live. We've been lighting candles for Advent. Traditionally, they're the candle of hope, the candle of peace, the candle of love, and the candle of joy. But as we look out into this world, and as I mentioned earlier, we see darkness. People that are caught up and enveloped in the darkness, how do they experience hope? Or peace. I was born in 1949, just after World War II. Just after I was born, the Korean War came in. Vietnam War came in. Police actions came in. The first Desert Storm came in. The second came in. That's just the wars we were involved in. In my lifetime, there has not been peace in the world. And yet we pray for peace. We keep praying for peace. Why? Because as Christians, we know that not only does prayer make a difference, but we know and trust that in God's grace, that God eventually will set things right and there will be peace. We have a hope that's assured through Jesus Christ that God will come and set things right. This time is not just simply about celebrating the first coming, the birth of Jesus. It's about His second coming as well. It's about trusting that God will come again and set all things right, just as the Israelites were hoping for the Messiah to come in Jesus' day. We are waiting and hoping and trusting for the Messiah to come back and set things right to eventually get rid of the darkness completely. Our closing hymn today, Joy to the World, is a wonderful Christmas hymn, isn't it? Well, those of you who are at the Feast of Carols may remember this, but Joy to the World was not written for Christmas. Joy to the World was written to celebrate Christ coming again, His second coming, when He would come back and He would win the war and evil would put away, darkness would put away, and with joy to the world, the Lord has come. He rules. It's about His second coming, not about His first. That's what we are waiting for in the midst of a world where darkness is trying to envelop it. And the question for us is, what is our choice each day? Do we choose to live in the light? Do we choose to live as Zechariah and Elizabeth and say, we will shine forth. We will be the people of God. We will carry God's hope, peace, love to everybody we meet. In many churches, there's a big lament about how people don't go to church anymore. I suggest that perhaps part of the reason is that what a lot of people outside church have seen for the last 40, 50 years is a church, as they term it, full of hypocrites. Because the big headlines in publicity, they see people that are judgmental. They see people who are narrow-minded. And they equate them with what we would call the Pharisees in the New Testament. It's all rules and regulations. And why do you want to be part of a group that has, I have to prove my worth before I be part of that family, part of that organization? And so people are looking for answers elsewhere. When the church has allowed that, that means the church has chosen to be in the darkness. We need to choose to live in the light of Christ. we need to be the hope, peace, the love, the joy of Christ in our world today. We need to be Jesus Christ in the world today. Zechariah talks about people caught in darkness, people living in the shadow of death. We are the ones to bring light in the midst of their darkness. Pastor Bill was talking about getting up in the middle of the night, and I was sharing in the first service how that's the same with me. As I get up Sunday mornings, I'm usually up by 5:30, but I like to get down here between 6 and 6:30, go over my sermon two or three times, change it five or six times, and go through. But I get up, and I don't want to wake my wife up. I don't want to wake Allison up. So I get up out of bed with no light. I have a flashlight nearby, but too many times I've reached my flashlight and knocked it over, knocked my glass of water over, so I don't reach for the flashlight anymore. And I walk down my path, and I get into bed, and I turn, and I go into the bathroom. And that's fine. Of course, we have our daughter's dog that is living with us, of course. Sprocket and I have learned how to walk together, because for a while when we first got him, I was stepping on his feet, I was tripping, and he's learned that wherever I am, he just kind of lightly puts his side up against my leg so we don't step on each other. Now, we have a nightlight in the bathroom. It's one that changes color. I got to tell you, the blue is worthless. I can see the blue light, but that's all it does is you see the blue light. It doesn't shine on anything, but it's a straight shot in the bathroom. So I go in and close the door and turn the light on there and get blinded. We finish, washing, shaving, whatever, doing, getting dressed, and come out. And then I always shut my eyes and turn the light out. And I get my eyes adjusted to the darkness. And then I wait. I wait for the white of that night light to come on. It has white and red and blue and green. And I wait for the white because all of a sudden when the white light comes on, I can see clear across my dresser, across the bedroom. And I know I can make it to the door in one shot and not trip over anything. It's amazing what white light will do. It lights the way, even in the midst of darkness. Or how many have been in a power outage and you light one candle? All of a sudden, there's light. And you can see. It doesn't dispel all of the darkness, but it dispels the fear, the anxiety, because we can see. People caught in the darkness today. Darkness of tragedy, poverty, hunger, the loss of a loved one. People caught in the middle of that need the light of God in their lives. They need to know they're not alone, and that we need to carry that light to them. But too often, a tragedy strikes, and they hear words like, well, it was in God's overall plan. Or, God loved your loved ones so much, God wanted them to be with Him rather than with you. And that's a bunch of crap. Jeremiah, God says, I have plans for you to prosper and to grow. God's will and plan is not for tragedy to strike, not for death to come in, not for poverty or hunger or anything else. God's plan is for blessings, for us to grow and for us to prosper. But a lot of times other people get in the way and free will comes in. And decisions some people make affect us and changes things. And that's where the light of God really needs to come in and shine. And show others how we can take tragedy and transform it to a place of hope. This is what Zechariah's song is all about. This is what we are called to be and do. We're the light that can make such a difference in the darkness of this world. Each of you is a candle that can walk into somebody's life and dispel the despair, the agony, the fear. You can bring hope, peace, love, joy. You are the light of the world. We are the ones that should echo with the angels that we've heard on high. We are the ones that can sing joy to the world because we have a different perspective. We are to go out and love people as Jesus did. Again, I think too often the church has been portrayed as people who want to bring forgiveness to others, but it's, your sins are forgiven. Well, if you'll admit them, they'll be forgiven. Because that's what Jesus did. He forgave sins, and Jesus did, and He does. And yes, we need to carry that message, but look how Jesus did it. Jesus didn't walk up to somebody and out of the blue tell them their sins were forgiven. People heard Jesus speak. They heard and experienced His love, His grace, His compassion. He looked into their hearts and they knew that He could see them and they knew that He cared for them. And when the time was right, He was able to say to them, your sins are forgiven, and they could hear that and rejoice in that. And in the same way for us, the only way someone's really going to hear from us that their sins are forgiven are not when we walk up to a stranger and tell them that, but when we build relationships with them. When they see the light of Christ in us, the light in Christ that envelops them, when they see that love, that grace, that compassion that God has for them, and they begin to search and they begin to wonder, they're open then to us to assure them, yes, your sins are forgiven. And they're renewed and they're transformed. That's being the light in the world. And we need to carry that light with us each and every day so others can join with us and rejoice and hear angels on high, just as the shepherds did so long ago.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.